this is Minta, and you're listening to Mint, the podcast equipping you to run the race of faith well. I like to say that we meet at the intersection of real life and the Word of God. Together, let's find practical ways we can grow stronger in our faith, live according to truth, and love those around us. I love hearing from you. So if you've been impacted by the show or have a question or just need prayer, please drop me an email at the address listed in the show notes. Mint is listener supported, and we would be so honored if you would consider making a donation to help keep us on the airwaves. All donations are tax deductible. Simply head to our website for more details, www.amintageisler.com. Let's do this faith journey together. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to continue in our theme for this season, which is Walk With Me. And that is Jesus's invitation to us, and it's my invitation to you. Let's do this faith journey together. Let's dive deep into the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and let's look at practical ways that we can live it out. We just finished an 8-episode series on the Beatitudes, which is the opening section of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you haven't listened to that, I just would encourage you to push pause, go back, start at season 3, episode 1, because it will just lay a really good, solid foundation for you for the rest of the sermon. It's a pretty critical part. But we just got done with that, and now we are going to look at the passage that follows it, which is all about being salt and light in the world. And we are going to talk today about the power of testimony and what it looks like to share our God story with those around us. And if you haven't shared your testimony before, that's okay. There are lots of reasons, whether you're not sure what to say, not sure you have a good enough story, maybe you're a little ashamed of some things in your past. Today, we are going to just talk about practical steps that anybody can take to get ready to step out in faith that way and just start to talk about what God is doing in our lives. So let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for being a reason to be salt and light in the world. God, we just ask that you would give us eyes to see you and ears to hear you in these next few minutes and a heart that is open to hearing from you. God, will you do a work in us today? Amen. All right, well, our text today starts in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. And as I said before, it follows the Beatitudes where Jesus laid out what true godly righteousness looks like. And we talked about it being a holy emptiness where our heart is empty of ourselves and we have this posture of humility and being poor in spirit and mourning where we grieve our sinfulness and we understand and are desperate for God and his righteousness. And then out of that, the second part of the Beatitudes is what overflows out of that holy emptiness when God fills us up, and it's being a person of mercy and purity and a peacemaker and with able to stand persecution. And so what comes next is the section about salt and light. So when you have that foundation, that understanding of what Jesus is looking for as a heart posture and the behaviors that will flow out of that, then comes the section on salt and light. So we are going to read that, and then we're going to talk about how we can apply it. Here we go, Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Salt and light, a pretty well-known section of the Bible. But what I want to do is start with talking about the context so that we can understand just how critical and what a high calling it is to be salt and light. So let's start with salt. Now, we use salt today. You might not think it's a big deal. It's present in pretty much every kitchen, sits on every table, and we use it as a flavor enhancer in food. I like salt. Anybody else listening like salt? I like a little salt on my French fries, a little salt on my eggs. You know what I'm saying? It enhances the flavor. It's a great condiment. But back in Jesus' day, salt was actually a very precious commodity. It was so valuable, it had so many uses that it was actually used in place of money sometimes. That's how valuable salt was. And it was used for many things. Not only was it to enhance flavor, but it was a preservative. Remember back in those days, there weren't refrigerators and refrigeration systems. And so if you wanted to preserve meat or other food that would spoil, you would use salt to preserve. It was used as a disinfectant for wounds. Salt actually can clean out infection. And so salt was used in the treatment of wounds, and it was used as an offering because it was so valuable. People would take salt offerings. And then the last use I want to talk about is actually so cool. Salt in the Bible, in the Old Testament, symbolized a covenant or an unbreakable bond. And so there's three passages in the Old Testament I'm going to turn to and just read to you so that we can start to get a feel for just how important salt was. Okay, I'm going to start with 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 5 says this. Don't you realize that the Lord, the God of Israel, made a lasting covenant with David, giving him and his descendants the throne of Israel forever? And there's an asterisk by lasting covenant. The God of Israel made a lasting covenant with David. If you go down to the bottom of the page, it says that he made a salt covenant with David. Isn't that interesting? So God made salt covenants with his people as a sign of faithfulness, as a deep bond. If we go to Numbers 18, verse 19, it says this, "Yes, I am giving you all these holy offerings that the people of Israel may bring to the Lord. They are for you and your sons and daughters to be eaten as your permanent share. This is an eternal and unbreakable covenant between the Lord and you, and it applies to your descendants." And again, there's an asterisk, and that eternal unbreakable covenant was a salt covenant. And finally, if we turn to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, "Season all of your grain offerings with salt to remind you of God's eternal covenant. Never forget to add salt to your grain offerings." Now, I don't know about you, but I did not realize salt was such an important and precious commodity in the Old Testament, which means this has huge implications for what Jesus is telling us in Matthew 13. We are the salt of the earth. Do you know what that means? It means that we are a preserving influence on culture. We preserve the goodness and the purity of what God has created. We purify, we help disinfect, we help clean out what is infected and wounds, and we are a promise. We are a symbol of the bond that God has for us in the world. What a high and important call that we have in culture. Salt was invaluable. It was useful. It was necessary. Jesus was giving us a reminder of just what an important role we play. So how do we walk that out? What did it look like to be salt? Well, Jesus was building on the Beatitudes. He was saying, you are salt in the world. You preserve it. You disinfect it. You are helping the world. You are being salt when you demonstrate righteousness, when you are humble, when you show mercy to someone who doesn't deserve it, when you stay pure, when no one around you is pure, when you make peace instead of choosing to stay in discord with someone, when you endure persecution, when you love others, that is being salt. That's what it's doing to culture. That is invaluable. So these days, if someone calls you salty, that usually means you're crabby and it's not a good thing. But according to Jesus, if someone calls you salty, you go ahead and you take that as a kingdom compliment. That is a good thing. And then right at the very end, I just don't want to skip over it, but it says this, if salt loses its flavor, you can't make it salty again and it's going to be thrown out and trampled. And that's just kind of a warning that Jesus gave us Christians, a little bit of a yikes, like, if you're not doing this in culture, if you're not living this way and adding this, if you're not being salty, watch out, you will be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So it's a really important and high calling. Jesus is saying, man, I'm not just saying this to toot my own horn or to give you a set of rules of which to live. This is critically important that you are this salt influence in culture. And if you don't, then there's really just no reason for you to be a Christian. So pretty high calling. All right, let's skip to the second half, starting chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, it's placed on a stand where it gives light to everybody in the house. So this second half is all about light and letting our light shine and not hiding it or not being afraid to show the world about the hope that we have inside of us. Now, this putting your light on a stand and letting it shine for all to see, this is not a call to be like a, look at me, look how awesome I am with God in my life. I'm amazing. Is not that kind of a glory hogging light on a stand. That's not what we're saying here. But what we are saying is it's like not being afraid to stand up and say, look what God did in my life. And he wants to do that for you too, actually, because he's that amazing. So how can we be light? What does God mean when it says we're light here? So I just want to go to a couple places in scripture that reveal to us what it means to be light. So first I'm turning to John chapter 1. And this is a description of Jesus. And it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. Nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And here we go. And his life brought light to everyone. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Jesus was light, and what he brought was illumination. He brought spiritual light where there was darkness, and he brought understanding, and he brought revelation of who God was. So that's what we're talking about. And again, in 1 John, flipping to the end here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. And so what this is saying, the point they're trying to make here is like, God is light. He is understanding. And we can't claim to have understanding if we know all of these things, but we live like we don't know them, right? Because once you understand and have that illumination, it should change the way you live. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 says this, if anyone claims I'm living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light. So when you have been given understanding of who God is and what he's asking of you to live as light, people of love, then we got to live that way or we aren't being a light on a stand. And so our actions matter. What we do and what we say with what God has done in our lives and shown us matters. And one amazing way that we can be a light is to share our God story or our testimony with the people around us. That is one of the best ways to show and shine a light in a dark world is to say, hey, yeah, God, you know what God did in my life? Yeah, he turned my marriage around, or he helped me overcome addiction, or he helped me through a really depressing and anxious time. And when we share that, it shines a light onto somebody else's darkness for them to say, well, I wonder if God could do that for me too. That's how we are light in a dark world. And the verse that got me started thinking about all of this is actually in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 15 says this, worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Do this in a gentle and respectful way and keep your conscience clear. All right. Always be ready to explain the hope that you have. And since sharing our hope is one of the ways that we shine a light, and we're talking about how do we be salt and light in our culture, one of the ways that I want to focus on today and get really practical about is sharing our testimony, because it's easy to do good deeds for people. It's easy to love. I mean, it's not always easy to love, but it's easy to do acts of service for people and show God's love. But what I'm finding more and more as I talk to more people and get to meet more people as I travel and speak and interact in Bible studies is that there are so many Christians out there who haven't really shared their testimony or aren't really sure how, or they don't feel very qualified to share their story. They feel like, oh, that's for a pastor, or, oh, I don't like speaking in front of people, or, I'm just not quite ready to tell that story, or, oh, I'm so embarrassed about what I did in the past, or they have shame, actually, about something that's in their past, or they worry about what other people are going to think. They haven't told their kids yet what lies in their past, and so some people feel like, man, I have kind of a boring story. I've known God my whole life, and so who wants to listen to that? But for whatever reason, what I'm seeing, what I've experienced is that we are just a people that are not, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, always ready to give an account for our hope. Or there's some hesitancy around it, or some anxiety around it, or just some things that keep us from sharing. And if that's you and you're listening today, that's okay. This isn't meant to be a podcast episode that makes you feel bad about the fact that you're not really sure about your testimony or you haven't shared it a lot. No, not at all. Don't mishear me. That's okay. I think that's the norm, actually. But if the Bible says we're to be light, and part of being a light is to share our testimony, then I think it's so important that as Christians, we just come around together and decide, you know what? Let's work towards being ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. So I see you. I love you right where you are. You don't have to change who you are. But what I want to do is encourage you in the faith journey. And my mission is to equip you to run the race of faith well. So I just want to encourage you today to take a step forward in faith wherever you're sitting when it comes to your testimony. And I want to encourage you with this. You are as equipped as you need to be to share your story. If you know God and He is active in your life, you are equipped to share your story. You are qualified. You are ready. You have been chosen. You are loved. This is something you can do. This is something you are called to do. And this is how you can be a light and you can make a difference for the people around you. So I just wanted to spend the rest of today being practical and just talking about what does it actually look like to shape your story or to tell your story or to work towards being ready to tell your story. Because I think sometimes when people think testimony, they think, ooh, I don't want to share my whole life with everybody. And I don't think a testimony has to be that. A testimony can just be an account of a time in your life when you know that you saw God work. In a really hard situation or in a really good situation. Or your testimony can be about your life, but just giving an overview. It doesn't necessarily have to get into all the nitty-gritty details. But I think it is important that we are able to pinpoint some point in our story where we know God has worked that we can share with other people. And here's why. Because if you're walking out your faith, people are going to start to ask you questions. You know, just to give an example, now that the weather is getting warmer in Minnesota, we are out all trying to clean up our yards and clean up the leaves and do things like that. And our neighbors are all out all of a sudden after hibernating all winter. And we talk to each other and neighbors ask questions. Hey, I noticed you leave every Sunday morning super early. Where are you going? Hey, you had a ton of people at your house. Who would you have over? What are you up to? And we have an opportunity in those times to say something. But so often we're not ready for it or it throws us off guard. And so we just kind of blow around it when we were given a little snapshot there to share a testimony, not our whole life story, but a testimony of like, oh, hey, you know, I have a breakfast club. And so we get up early and we go and we feed 80 kids and we give them the love of Jesus because we want kids to know they matter. That's, you know, it just can be that simple. But interactions like that in our daily life are going to happen. And so I just want to talk about, here's some really practical things that you can do to kind of get ready for that. So there's different kinds of testimonies too. Sometimes you got to give the elevator version. And I always say, like, that's the 30-second version of if you were bump into somebody in the elevator and they ask you for the reason that the hope that you have, you're not going to tell them a 2-hour story. You got to give them the 2-3 sentence version of your story. But sometimes when you're sitting around and you know you're going to have hours and hours with people or you're having a really deep talk, then that is the time when maybe you will dig in and give more details of your story. And so sometimes a testimony is short and sweet, and sometimes a testimony is in depth and kind of painful and gives a lot of details, but it's just important. And I think there's certain things we can do to be ready for that and to prepare for that and be intentional so that we are ready, 1 Peter 3:15, to give an account for the hope that we have. So first, and before we move on, because this is such a huge part of my story, I want to say this to the people listening, that you have something in your past that you feel embarrassed about or ashamed about, or you haven't told your kids about. And I just want to meet you in that place and say, I know, dear friend, what that feels like. And I have told my story on this show. And if you want to go all the way back to episode 1 in the very beginning, you can hear it. But the thing is like, I was the lost of the lost of the sinners. And I have made all the mistakes. And I had a very hard heart and I ran from God. And he met me literally at rock bottom when I least deserved to be loved. And he forgave me and he took me back and he set my feet on solid ground and he gave me a new song to sing. And now I get to speak about his love for a job, which is unbelievable to me because I am the least worthy. But if you have something in your story that's hard to share, I want you to know I understand that, because when I had to start to share my story, I had to sit down with my kids and say, you might not know this about mommy, but I have some things in my past that are really hard to share. I screwed up big, like bigger than probably anyone you know. And I had to make peace with that. So I want to acknowledge today, like, I see you and I know that it is a process being able to share some things in our past, our mistakes and some of our bad choices, some of the things that we took back. But I want to encourage you that God can use anything and there is nothing that you need to be ashamed of, because God looks at you and he sees you as amazing and clean and his kid. And he has redeemed you, and he can use that very hardest part of your story to shine a light to somebody that might really need it, that might be in the same situation, and hearing that you made it through that, or that you chose that and you recovered from it, might be the motivation and the inspiration they need to turn their life around and to let God into their life. And so I know that what I'm asking for some of you is really difficult, but I want to encourage you. If I can do it, you can do it. And there is nothing God can't use. And you don't need to feel bad about a single thing in your story, because you are God's loved child and he has redeemed you and he uses everything for good. There is no shame, no condemnation in the kingdom. All right. End of soapbox. But I wanted to put that out there first, because I know when I start to talk about sharing your story, giving a testimony, a lot of people go, and they kind of freeze up and they think, that's really good for other people. I'm going to pass this episode along to other people. This is not the episode for me. But I just wanted to meet you in that place of like, this is an episode for everyone. And we can all do this. And I know I so appreciate how God uses my story to impact other people for the kingdom. And your vulnerability might be the thing that shines light into somebody else's darkest points. So I think at the very least, if you take nothing else away from today, just start to pray that God would give you the courage to move towards sharing your story. All right? Okay. Here we go. Now, I have just thought of a couple of practical things that I think are helpful in beginning to tell your story. So maybe you already know how to share your testimony. That's awesome. Maybe this will just be a good reminder for you, or maybe this will just be something that will encourage you to share your story again or to get back out there. But I'm just going to share 5 or 6 things that I think are helpful when you start to get going about sharing your testimony and your story. So the first thing I want to say is this: brainstorm. Sit down with a piece of paper or your phone and pull up the note app on your phone and just think about some of these things and write them down. When you're sharing your story with somebody, I would say this, look for major events in your life. Okay. For a lot of people, it's like, well, when I got married, everything changed. Or when I went to college, I started to make bad decisions. Or when I got a job in this industry, it just really took me out. But look for major events in your life that caused a change, or it caused something in you, or it created a need that all of a sudden opened you up to seeing your faith in a different way, right? So brainstorm some major life events, or you can write down, when did you meet God? Do you remember? And for some people, when they accepted God into their life and started to have a relationship with God, that's different than when they really started to see him work in their life. Like, I think there's many of us that go back and say, well, I've gone to church since I was little. I always knew about God. But then when I was in my 30s and my marriage got hard, that's when I grabbed a hold of my relationship with God and it became real to me. So write down those times. If you're stuck about major events, I would just say this. Can you think of any hard times in your life that you've had? And how did God help you in that situation? Or is there a point in your life when you can look back and say, wow, God really helped me here? So think, just take some time, sit down and just kind of brainstorm those major events, those critical moments or hard times that you've had. Those are great starting points, because sometimes you don't even need to tell your whole story. You can just tell a part of your story, and that's okay. So the second thing that I want to talk about is finding your core. Okay. And what do I mean by that? Find that true essence. So once you have brainstormed what was going on in your life, then figure out really what is the most critical part here. What is the crux of this? Because there's a lot that happens in your life. And so building a core is what, if you had to summarize your story in like just 2 to 3 sentences, the very basis of how God has worked in your life or how you've seen him, what would it boil down to? When the details are stripped away, when all the other things are taken out, like what is just absolutely bare bones has to be there. That's your core. Okay, for me, when I tell my story, I could tell it in 2 hours or I can tell it in 2 to 3 sentences. And it's this: when my life fell apart, I ran away from God and I chased everything the world said would fill me up. It didn't work and I hit rock bottom. I realized my need for God and I got on my knees and asked him to take me back. And a half an hour later, a complete stranger invited me to church and the rest is history, right? I can boil it down to that rock bottom moment where God met me when I was the least deserving of love and he loved me and he put my feet on solid ground. That is the crux of what changed in my story. Now I can tell you that story and instead of taking 10 seconds, it will take me 2 hours and I can tell you all the cool details. But when you can figure out the core, once you have looked at all your main points or your big events, once you can figure out like the core or the one thing you kind of want to focus on, then that gives you the freedom to be able to tell the short version or the long version or just kind of manipulate and move your story. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it allows you the flexibility to meet people where they're at and you can kind of gauge that. You know, or for somebody it might be, well, I grew up in a Christian home and I accepted Jesus into my heart as a child and I have seen and experienced his love my whole life and I'm so thankful. That's your core. How awesome is that? Or for some people it's like, I battled with addiction and I went to Teen Challenge and I got treatment and I realized God's love for me and he has allowed me to be sober for 15 years and here I am. You know, so figure out that core of what it is and then now jot that down, okay? The next I would say is then as you start to think about how you're gonna tell it, summary statements are super helpful. And figuring out how to take periods of your life and dwindle it down into a summary. And that can help like explain and transition. Here's what I mean. Well, I had a really great childhood. But then when I went to college, right? That's your lead in to your moment that you're gonna give people, to your core moment, so that they have some kind of context for the situation. Like, here is a girl who had a good life and then she ran into trouble. Or another summary statement is like, oh, my college years were so tumultuous. And then I went to an FCA meeting, you know? So give people a context, but if we can do it in a summary statement, if you can figure out how to set the context and not spend a ton of time setting it up, that's a good thing, because we want to spend the majority of the time sharing about what God did. And so Summary statements are great. My childhood was good. My college years were not good. Or I first realized my need for God. Or I remember feeling different one day after a church service. Or I always knew there was a God, but the first time I experienced him. So think of what kind of summary statements you can put into your story to help set the table, but not take up a lot of time. Because my next point is this, number four, too many small details can detract from your main point. And I want to acknowledge our stories are complicated and they're multifaceted and there's so many important details that we feel like people got to know. But if we get stuck in the details, then we're going to lose the heart of the story. And so after you brainstorm in major events, find your core and get some summary statements in there. Make sure then as you start to tell it and flush it out that you're really be selective about your details. And sometimes you'll be able to put in more details than other times. I mean, I know when I'm speaking, if I'm going to do my testimony in 2 minutes, man, they're not getting a lot of details. But if I do 10 minutes of my testimony at the end, they're going to get some of the really cool details. They're going to get more of the meat. But either way, the story isn't powerful because of what God did. But have you ever known somebody like that? Like they try to tell you a story and it's a 2 minute story, but it's 20 minutes long because they can't leave out any detail. And you're like, oh, that's so not critical to the story. So I just want to say, be careful about the details because you don't have to tell people your whole story and everything about you. Like they don't have to know you intimately in order to hear your God story, right? And you don't even have to use specifics all the times. Like maybe you had a really rough patch in your marriage. Well, you don't have to give the dirty details about what the fight looked like and, you know, everybody moved out and the kids lost their minds and we all ended up in counseling and I started drinking every day. Like, you don't have to say that. You might just say, our marriage hit a rough patch and then. You know what I mean? Sometimes in a one-on-one conversation or whatever, you will be called to give out some of those details. But just think about, not all of those have to make it in every time, and we can summarize things. So I just wanted to say that because the details sometimes can overtake the main point. Number six, and once you've kind of done all of that, then just maybe make a little outline or a flow. And this is just to start. I'm not trying to prep you here to give a speech or make you memorize everything, anything. I'm not telling you have to post this anywhere. But what I am saying is just do the flow. Write it out and then practice it on somebody that you trust. Say, hey, I've just been thinking about my story and sharing it. I'm going to give you this. It's like just 3 minutes. Will you tell me if it makes sense or if I left something out or if I focused too long on something else? Like, just tell me if you didn't know me and I told you this story, would it make sense to you? How would you feel about it? And just have the vulnerability or the courage to do that. Just do it with your spouse or do it with your best friend over coffee someday. And I know that you're probably sitting there going, Minty, you really need me to practice my testimony. And you might not need to. You can practice in the mirror if that makes you feel better. But don't let like the first time this comes flowing out of your mouth be to the neighbor who might need the gospel. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just be intentional and it'll give you confidence too. Because I always know the first time I deliver something, it's like, oh, I could have done that better. And the next time I give it, it's so much better. So just maybe do a little practicing in there. And what I would say is this, just imagine like what I said earlier, that you're sitting in your driveway and it's a beautiful spring day and your neighbor comes over and just asks you, so, okay, I noticed that you leave really early on Sunday mornings. Like, does your family go to church or what's the deal? And then just, okay, how would I respond to that? And just take a minute and jot some of those things down and figure out what a good response would be for that. So I want to try something here, and I'm hoping Annie, my director, is up for this. Annie, how do you feel about coming over here and sitting by me and on the mic? Let's talk about your testimony, your story. Are you up for giving it a try?
Sounds good.
Okay, come on over. Here we go. Everyone, welcome Annie to the show. Excuse the microphone adjusting. Here we go. Okay, so Annie, yes. If I were to say to you, like, what's your God story? What's your testimony? Do you, like, where are you in that journey? Do you feel ready to give it or do you want to process a little?
Well, now that you taught me a little bit more, I do feel a little bit better. And like you said about practicing, I am a self-talker in the car, so I will practice this
yes.
in the car.
All right.
By myself. But no, I liked what you said about when you think about moments in your life. And before, if someone said, oh, what's your testimony? I would say, you know, I grew up going to church with the family, grew up just having God in my life, feeling the Holy Spirit, giving me convictions, not walking perfect all the time, but I had God in my life. But then got married young. I was 20, he was 21. I think I could pick out two times in my life, and there's plenty more, but I would say those two times just, we had a time that we were audited, and it just rocked me to the core. And I think God wanted me to sit in that discomfort for a little while to teach me some things. So I would, when you're saying about a couple things about thinking about times that you saw God and God changed me in that time. And then I would say in our marriage, like I said, we were married young, and there are so many difficulties that, you know, marriages go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that that would be one of mine, that I could see God. He taught me a lot in my 30s of resting in him. And so in a good marriage, but we had a lot of difficult times too, he brought us both in a deep place, dark place. But he brought us out of that so much better. So I, like you said, that would be one that I could tell people that, you know, in some marriages, healthy marriages, stick with it. Because it can be so much better after the junk is all kind of worked out. But that would be kind of my
awesome. I love it. So see, what she did right there was she gave some summary statements about how she's seen God ever since she was a little kid. But then she also brought out two times in her life where she's seen God work mm-hmm. and move in her life. And that is exactly what we're talking about here, is just being able to identify those moments when God works in your life. And so you can share that with other people mm-hmm. who are in the journey and maybe struggling, like, hey, this part of my marriage was hard. It was icky, but we made it. Mm-hmm. And God taught me stuff. And now it's so much better. Like, that was just perfect.
Yeah.
I love
it. When someone comes to me with something that they're struggling with, I want to try to relate with them. You know, I can relate with marriage problems, or I can relate with parenting issues. Like, if I'm going to someone, I don't want to think, oh, they've got their life all together and they're not going to tell me their problems. Like, let's go back and forth so we can kind of help mm-hmm. each other and not feel like, oh, you're perfect and I just have this messy life going on.
Yes, and that's so true and so good. And I think so many of us are walking around with tough spots in our story mm-hmm. and we feel like somehow we can't share that with the world yeah. and we try to hide it and pretend like life is good and the posts on Instagram and Facebook right. make it look good. But when we really get down deep, and then somebody will be vulnerable and share, well, yeah, I had marriage problems. And it's like everybody around the room slowly is like, me too, you know? Yeah. So when we are vulnerable, mm-hmm. like what Annie just was, that frees other people up to be vulnerable about their struggles and what they're going through. So mm-hmm. do you want to give it a try? Just in a few sentences, what would you say your God story is? Oh. No pressure, Annie.
Oh,
my. You're doing so good. And it doesn't have to be perfect. The point of this yeah. is just to try.
Yeah. My God story would probably be that he brought me to my discomfort. And he brought me out of it, but taught me so much in that. So without God in my life, I wouldn't have walked. I think I would have walked that path and not knowing what he could do. And he could give me that peace, no mm-hmm. matter if it came through not good or not bad. But my God story would just be that he's where I go for instruction in life. And without that, I don't know how I'd make decisions and right and wrong and how to parent and how to do my marriage and how to have friendships. And so
that is so good. See, that's so powerful. That's so great. Thank you for sharing. Because now to everybody listening, they're like, oh, I'm in something hard. I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to God and he can teach me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so powerful, because that really is, if you know Annie, that is so true, is that she is a learner and mm-hmm. she has learned from God, and she shares what she's learned with the people around her and sends out cool podcast episodes she's heard and stuff. And so that is just, that is Annie. That is the light she shines. So that's awesome. Thank you for being brave and taking a risk. You guys, and I meant that in such an encouraging way. And I'm so inspired by Annie and her willingness to just step out and try on the podcast this morning. And she did so good. But that when we can be vulnerable and when we can share, that opens the door and shines a light for somebody else to do the same. And then we're walking out what Jesus told us to do. We are being a light in the world. We are being salt in the world. And there's just so much power in that. So I am going to pray for us, and then we are going to call this episode good. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that we all have a God story of you loving us and you helping us and rescuing us and being there for us. God, you are faithful and we thank you. God, I just pray you'd be with each person listening to the podcast today. I pray that you would give them a spirit of boldness and a spirit of courage to begin to think about and share the story of how you've worked in our lives. And Lord, let us be people that are not afraid to be vulnerable, and we're not afraid to learn, and we're not afraid to dig into you and see what you have for us. God, I just thank you so much for this time. I pray a blessing for the listeners. In your name we pray. Amen. You've been listening to Mint, the podcast dedicated to making spiritual things practical. If you want more information about Mint or Reckless Abandon Ministries, you can just head to our website at www.amintageisler.com for more information.